Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to RBL Bank's Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. R. Subramaniakumar, MD and CEO, RBL Bank. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us for a discussion on RBL Bank's financial results for the fourth quarter and full financial year of 2024. We have uploaded the results along with the presentation on our website, and I hope you have had a chance to go through it in detail ahead of this call. I am, as always, joined on this call by Mr. Rajiv Ahuja and other members of our management team to address any questions that you have. Before we get into the results for the quarter, I would like to take a few minutes to touch upon the year that went by, the areas where we did well, the areas of improvement, a report card of our performance, if you may. At the start of the year, we had set out ourselves some important goals, which were the granular growth in assets and liabilities, the scaling up our new retail businesses, maintaining and improving asset quality, and keeping credit costs within our guidance, and lastly, improving profitability on an ongoing basis. On all these fronts, we believe we have delivered largely per expectations. Our focus in the short and medium term will continue to be improving profitability, maintaining and improving asset quality, and focusing on sensible growth through granular advances and deposits. At the same time, we will continue to strengthen cross-sell and improve our digital platform to drive customer engagement and customer acquisition. Our overall advances grew approximately 20% this year. Our retail advances grew 30%. Similarly, on the deposit front, overall deposits grew approximately 22%, while retail deposits, that is, deposits less than 2 crores, grew 24%. Our newer retail businesses picked up momentum as the year progressed, and we entered the year with the business loans, home loan, and rural vehicles reaching 800 crore plus disbursal run rate per month. Small ticket housing and the business loans is now seeing a run rate of almost 100 crore per month, which is heartening and gives us the confidence on the scale-up of these businesses. This is an important area of focus as we believe we can build meaningful scale given our distribution through the bank and RBL Finserv Limited, our 100% subsidiary focused on financial inclusion. We are now piloting to leverage our subsidiary, RFL, given the strong presence and understanding of the semi-urban and rural markets. This can significantly accelerate the mix in our business loan and housing business towards the affordable and micro-commercial lending segment, a segment with a better risk-adjusted return. In addition, our own branches have become an important area of cross-sell of these products to our customers and account for 20% plus of disbursements in housing and business loan. That said, our progress on two-wheeler, gold, and used cars has been slower than what we planned. We had some initial teething issues, which is now largely behind us, and we will look to start building meaningful volumes in this year. Similarly, on cross-sell, while we have seen success in our branch teams cross-sell housing and business loans to our customers as well as generate a liability relationship with other customers, we are streamlining the execution on cross-sell at scale through digital and contact center channels. We have initiated some organizational changes to increase the focus in this area and should see a positive impact. On our liabilities franchise, we continue to see healthy growth at 24% YOY and 6% QOQ in granular deposits, which has been a key success. Branches are now attuned to not chasing the large ticket deposits, and that mindset has led to steadily improving granular deposit accretion. Despite the bank not meaningfully increased deposit rates, resulting in narrowing the gap on deposit rates with larger banks. Addressing briefly our three mature businesses of credit card, microfinance and wholesale. On credit cards, we originated approximately 23 lakh cards this year and grew the credit card receivables by 25%. In this segment, the dependency on our largest co-brand partner has been an ongoing concern for many of you. Though I will reiterate here that the RBL BFL co-brand is an important partnership for us, and it has and continues to be a very fruitful partnership for both partners. That said, from a de-risking perspective, while for the full year, the share of RBL bank origination ex of BFL was about a third. In March, we have already taken this proposition up to 48%. A large part of this change was the result of increasing volumes from branches, direct sales teams, and online channels. Going forward, you will see the mix continues to move towards more of our own sourcing. We have also added three interesting co-brand partners, one each from FinTech, large NBFC, and a distribution company recently, and we hope to launch these co-brand products in this quarter. The details are given in our investor presentation. We will also be launching the RuPay credit card in this quarter. The credit card will continue to be our largest customer acquisition engine, and we touch over 3 to 4 lakh customers every quarter. Outside of credit cards, the customer base provides a rich acquisition for multiple consumer lending products, namely housing loan, two-wheeler loan, auto loan, gold loan, education loan, personal loan, savings, term deposit, and insurance. This has become more interesting for us as we now have the full suite of products for individuals across assets and liabilities. Over the next 12 months, we will pivot towards this being a meaningful originator for multiple products on our cards platform. The cross-sell opportunity is very large, given we are seeing a 20% plus increase in customer YOY. We are working on pilots to leverage the technology and data to see the most optimal and the customer-friendly way to leverage this, which includes testing propensity models, customer-level underwriting, deciding appropriate channels for targeting, etc. Analytics-driven application scores, which feed into our acquisition strategy, have been implemented in this quarter for credit cards and microfinance to sharpen acquisition quality. Similarly, similar actions underway in our retail asset vertical. On microfinance, the business has been stable in the last year. We have seen some disruption in certain geographies, but the business has recovered well and continues to grow at a planned rate. The collection efficiency has seen improvement, with the bucket X at par or a notch above the industry. RBL FinServe, our largest channel for customer acquisition and the business volumes, has scaled up nicely in the last year. While microfinance continues to be the main line of business, we are also rolling out small ticket housing and business loans in the same geographies to leverage the deep knowledge of semi-urban and rural markets and the strong distribution franchise. As you would know, RFL employs over 10,000 people and has presence in 370 districts across the country and 950 plus branches. And over the last 2 years, we have upgraded the tech platform and it is now capacitized for higher volumes in microfinance as well as lead generation for other businesses of the bank. Lastly, on wholesale, this business has been a steady contributor for the bank for the last few years. One of the questions often asked of us is differentiation, which allows us to be competitive despite our funding structure. Over the last few years, with increasing share of liability generation, trade, forex, and other cross-sell, the share of transaction flow-led fee income has grown. We have been able to deliver this by differentiating product offering, customization in solutioning, and building niche segment. Wholesale, especially in commercial banking, which is mid and SME segment, grew 17% YoY, is an area where we can potentially be more relevant to our clients, and it will remain an important focus for the coming year. We are adding people and 10 new geographies per year to ensure that the growth in the areas, grow in areas which are logical from a risk-reward perspective. We will continue to have a strong multi-product focus in this segment. On asset quality, we have been within our credit cost guidance at the start of the year. We started building contingent buffers in the last year and will continue to add at every opportunity. More from the balance sheet strengthening perspective, our PCR has been steady and our NPAs, both gross and net, have been trending downwards. Lastly, on profitability, we have steadily achieved an increase in both operating profits because of the improved operating leverage. We have increased in operating profit as well as the PAT through the year. We have exited the year at 1.1% ROA, and we will look to improve on this steadily going forward. This will largely be driven by getting to optimal scale in our newer retail businesses over the next couple of years. Our PSL targets, including sub-targets for the year, were achieved. So the need for RIDF investments incrementally may not be there, which should help reduce the drag on the balance sheet as the existing investments pare down as they mature. Now on to other aspects of our operating performance on advances. As I said earlier, our advances grew 20% YoY and 5% sequentially. Retail advances have grown at a faster pace than overall advances at the rate of 30% YoY and 6% sequentially. The secured retail grew at 43% YoY and 5% QoQ. Our wholesale advances grew 7% YoY and 4% sequentially. Within this, the commercial banking has grown 17% YoY, 2% sequentially. On deposits, we saw a 22% YoY growth in overall deposits and a 12% sequential growth. We saw a 24% growth YoY and 6% sequentially in deposits below rupees 2 crore, which continues to accrete well. The branch banking led deposits grew 34% YoY and 11% sequentially and account for approximately 60% of the total deposits of the bank. The LCR was very healthy at 140% for the quarter, helped by the strong deposit growth, which has had some impact on margins. On asset quality, in terms of NPA ratios, the GNPA was at 2.65%, improving from 3.12% in the previous quarter. And NNPA was at 0.74%, again better than 0.80% last quarter. PCR now stands at 72.7%. Our total slippages were 680 crores this quarter, with the credit cards at 378 crores and microfinance at 162 crores being the bulk of the slippages. The slippages in wholesale was 70 crores and other retail was 69 crores. The net slippages trended down during the quarter at 441 crores as against 466 crores last quarter. Of this, the net slippages in the wholesale was 12 crores. The credit card was 335 crores, microfinance was 141 crores, and the rest of the retail was negative 46 crores, signifying recoveries are higher than new slippages. Our net restructured advances stood at 0.51% in Q4 FY24, down from 0.63% in Q3 FY24. on provisions. We took a total provision on advances of 488 crore in this quarter. We had recoveries from written-off accounts totaling 80 crore. The net provision on advances, therefore, was at 408 crore. The credit cost for the quarter was 53 basis points as compared to 48 basis points in the last quarter on a like-for-like basis, which includes contingent provisions also. We continue holding the provision of 114 crore we had taken on AIF in the last quarter on profitability. Our NII was up 18% YoY and 3% sequentially at 1,600 crore, impacted mainly by increase of 8 basis points in cost of deposits this quarter, resulting in the NIM of 5.45% versus 5.52% last quarter. Given the rate environment, the deposit costs are likely stickier for longer, and conservatively with better liquidity management, we estimate our NIMs to be in the same range in the near future. Our total other income was 875 crore this quarter, 30% higher YoY and 13% sequentially. Of this, core fee income grew 26% YoY and 14% sequentially to 829 crore. Our total income was up 22% YoY and 7% sequentially at 2,475 crore. Our OPEX grew 10% YoY and 2% sequentially at 1,588 crore. Our cost-to-income ratio was 64.2% this quarter against 67.1% in Q3 FY24 and 70.8% in Q4 FY23. This is in line with our focus on cost and improving scale. We saw a healthy increase in PPOP this quarter at 887 crore, up 49% YoY and 16% sequentially, driven by positive operating leverage. Our net profit for the quarter was 353 crore, up 30% YoY and 51% sequentially. Similarly, the ROA also saw an improvement to 1.08% versus 0.75% last quarter. However, last quarter, without AIF provision, ROA would have been 1.03%. Nevertheless, ROA for the current quarter was higher than that of the previous quarter, and the same was up from 1% for the Q4 of last year. On capital, our total capital was 16.2%, and our CET1 ratio was 14.4% as against 16.4% and 14.6% as at December end. We are also happy to share that the board has approved a dividend of rupees 1.5 per share, subject to the approval of shareholders. In summary, we continue to see steady growth and improving profitability and remain on track to achieve our metrics outlined. We expect to see a steady growth in advances in the range of 20%, with the retail driving credit expansion, especially at some of our new segments at scale. We also see opportunity to build scale, especially in the commercial banking space, where we will be looking to grow basis appropriate risk-reward opportunities across lending and other fee and liability-based products. This, we believe, will continue to be well supported by the granular deposit growth, which will outpace the overall deposit growth. At the same time, we will continue to improve efficiency and profitability ratios. Consistent and continuous efforts in the last couple of years have stabilized the technology and tech infra, thereby providing a satisfactory customer service, leading to substantial reduction in the customer complaints. We have initiated operational automation, process simplification, along with IT infra enhancement and strengthening to achieve operational efficiency and meet the scale of business growth. On capital, our ratios continue to be healthy, and we remain well capitalized for growth in the short and medium term. With this, we will open the session for question and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rikin Shah from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question. Mr. Shah? Yes. Please proceed. Now you're audible.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions, sir. Firstly, congratulations on the steady execution of the strategy that you have been outlining for a while. Firstly, I would want to understand in FY25, given the further execution on the parameters that you have outlined, any tangible metrics, financial metrics, wherein we could see some further improvement from the current levels, if you could guide on that. That's number one. Number two, just a clarificatory question. The employee expense in this quarter seems to have gone down and you haven't reversed the AIF-related provisions. So if you could talk about both of them as well. Thirdly, it's on credit card. So we have been talking about entering into more co-branded partnerships, but that has been articulated for some time now, but we haven't seen any announcements. And the regulator now doesn't require a pre-approval from them, right? So if you could just talk through what has been the reason for delay in this new partnerships. And the fourth and the last question is on the capital. So with the ROEs of still less than 10% and loan growth almost 2x of that, we are consuming capital. So with the current level of CET1 ratio, do you see a need to raise capital in the foreseeable future? Yeah, those are my questions.
Okay. I'll just take two of them and I'll request my colleagues to talk about rest of the things. First one, with regard to the guidance, we have been consistently telling for the last 3 years, FY2026, we have given our vision document. And if you look at our investor presentation, we are on track. So we will continue to make an ROA of 1% and we have a very clear plan of achieving up to 1.4% at the end of 2026. We are on track. And with the execution demonstrated clearly in respect of the retail product launch and the retail few products scaling up, the remaining products will also scale, adding thereby our ability to increase our interest income, which in turn will kick up our NII and rest of the things will, since the cost is under more or less under control, and we'll continue to see that cost income ratio in the same range for a couple of quarters, and it'll start tapering up as we move forward, and which in turn will trigger an additional of your PPOP. And as has been said earlier in my narration, in my commentary, that the credit cost is more or less the peak debt, and we will not be seeing more impact on that. With that, our PAT will continue to be increasing beyond the current level of 30% plus. So what you saw right now is the base, and it is going to improve thereon. This is one. Second, with regard to AIF, we had around 114 crores of provisions which we made. We continue to maintain the same provision. We have not reversed it. However, we will be open to the options for looking at it, as we said in the previous quarter, where we will be without hitting our base rate of the face value. We will be looking for opportunity. If the appropriate opportunity comes at the acceptable rate, we will be looking for getting out of that also. That is a long-term journey. With regard to the employee, yes, I have been telling it almost for the last 2 years. We have a very fair depth of knowledge within the organization. And we made it clear, as a principal, we will be looking into that knowledge base of the bank for making the people to take up the higher position, which we have consistently did it, and it delivered the results also. You would have seen it. The same thing we did last year, the team has delivered, and we will continue to look at that option. Only when there are the opportunity for introducing a new product, a new line of business, maybe we will look outside. We are not shutting our options for looking outside. However, the preference will be with the knowledge. This is what the thing is concerned. And with regard to that, CC, I just made a mention about it, and I'll ask JD to talk about the card. And
just one clarification on employee expense. My question was pertaining to the quantum of employee expense declining sequentially.
I'm about to answer that. So we had some, we make actual provisions for gratuity and pension, which actual in Q4 when we did the actual outcome, that was lower than what we had taken provision for the 9 months. So there was some reversal there. Nothing more than that. So we will, otherwise the employee expense will continue to grow in line with expansion of our employee base, because business growth will have to be supported with increase in employees. We have of course taken a lot of initiatives to delayer the organization and become far more efficient in areas where we have done automations. So that benefit is also seeing flowing through now in the expense.
Sure. And would you be able to quantify the quantum of reversal and whether 4Q is a more normalized base that we see growing in line with the business in the coming quarters?
Yeah, so the base is normalized. We had approximately 20 crore difference. So last time we had provided 10, this time we reversed 10. So there was a 20 crore delta between the two quarters sequentially. If I exclude that noise, we would be flattish. And then from here on, we should grow. So year on year, we have grown about 11-12%. And, you know, I mean, I think I can't give an exact guidance, but clearly there will be growth in low single digits, low double digits. Yeah. On credit cards, Rakil, we actually in the investor presentation have mentioned that we have signed up with three new partners. One of them is a distribution company, Indian Oil Corporation. So we'll launch a Petro Rupee card. So that is the, that will also be our initiation into Rupee cards. With IOC, we've then signed up with one NBFC TVS credit, which will enable us to tap that customer base, and then we've signed up with one fintech Park Plus. So these are the three tiers. The actual launch of these cards, along with the partners, should happen towards the end of Q1.
Got it.
On capital. Yeah, on capital, so we, if you look at last full year, we burnt about 80 basis points of capital, whether you look at CET1 or total, approximately, and that will be the burn, approximate burn. So we should be good for at least 12 months, post which we should be looking to raise capital.
Perfect. That answers all my questions. Thank you for answering them, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat from Flute Aura. Please go ahead. As the current participant is not answering, we will move on to the next question, which is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. So just wanted to understand for FY25, as per our guidance, when we are talking about PPOP growth leading loan growth, so clearly in 24, NIMS expansion supported that. So for 25, what are the drivers that we're looking at in terms of the PPOP growth, leading loan growth, and also in ROA expansion? Second, in terms of the presentation mentioned that we are venturing into commercial cards. So just wanted to understand your thought process there. Why are we venturing into this? Because as I understand, this has a lower profitability than the retail cards.
Yeah. I'll just take that, the PPOP point of it. See, it is going to be attributed by holding the cost and leveraging the operational expenses, the operating investment which you have done it. The second, our mix of advances undergoing a change, you would have seen it. Our wholesale, as which was around 21, has come down from 5% in over a period of 1 year, which is being redeployed or reallocated into that of the medium to high interest earning assets. That is going to be the growth. The growth, if we continue to do it the same level of 20% what we have been doing it, that will be triggering our interest income growth, and thereby NII, because we're holding the cost. We believe that unless the rate of deposits will be holding like that for some more time, and we will be in a position to increase our NII. So it is going to be a OPEX cost being lesser than the advanced growth will be the one pointer which is going to help us to increase our PPOP. With regard to commercial card, I will ask our Vikram Yadav, who is sitting our card division, will be able to respond. Vikram.
Yes, sir. So when you are asking question that why, what is the strategic intent behind in getting into commercial card, the commercial card space is done primarily to cater to our existing customers' needs. So we have a reasonable portfolio of large corporates and mid-sized corporates, and their T&E and bill payment needs need to be catered to. Therefore, we need to have a product offering for them. This is largely to take care of synergies and payment needs of our existing customers. In addition to that, we will drive profitability and growth by introducing products for SMEs also. So commercial card for top-end corporates is largely to have full product suite available for existing customers, and we'll drive profitability and growth by issuing cards to the SME customers. I hope that answers the question. Did I answer your question?
Rohan, are you there?
Sir, I would request the participant to kindly rejoin the queue as he has already left. We will move on to the next question, which is from the line of Mona Khetan from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. And thanks for taking up my question. So, firstly, if I look at the MFI book, delinquencies have been higher versus last quarter, beat the early bucket, beat the 90 plus. So if you could just throw some light there.
Yeah. So you are right. I think we've had a slightly increased slippages in MFI because we saw the bucket expansion happen in early buckets a quarter before that, which now is come back to control. In fact, as we closed our financial year, our first bucket resolution has gone back to the peak that we have seen. And therefore, we will now expect the incremental outcomes to start getting better.
Just connect our earlier calls to the previous quarters. We said that the five different states, because of the disruptions of the ground level and the rain and other things, has rather reduced our efficiency of collection, which in fact is flowed to the respective buckets, so bucket two and bucket three, which caused some slippages. However, now, in the month of December, in the month of March and April, we were just bounced back to that level of efficiency of 99.4% to 99.6% range across the states, which we believe will continue for the rest of the year. And this will also bring down the further slippages relative to the last year.
Sure, but just to put things together, so when I look at industry, the deterioration is not, significant or it's very limited versus relative to yours. So what's different in your case that's resulted in such higher delinquency?
See, there are three or four reasons. Number one, we are not above the industry. When I make a comparison with the industry, we're at par with the industry. Probably relative to what we have been performing far, far better in Q1 of last year and Q2 of last year, we slipped out in four, five states. The states where there were the elections which held there, we saw some delinquency in terms of the postponement of the collections. The second, the floods in some of the southern states has also caused, we have a considerable presence of those kind of things there in the southern states, which disrupted, especially the Chennai rains and other things have also caused it. The third was that in Punjab and Haryana and other places, we had the Mukti Shivar. Right? There was one movement which was going on, which put us a little disadvantageous position. And the last was in respect of the Rajasthan. Our organizational structure was requiring a little refurbish there, which the disruption was happening over a period of one and a half months, which also caused some delay in collections. These are the specific reasons. Since all the reasons, all the causes and the reasons, what I said, are addressable, we have addressed it in the last couple of quarters, and we are back to that position where we were. And our efficiency in the collection in almost some states go up to even 99.8, in some states it is. So the average is around 99.4 to 99.5 in that range. So with that, as a zero bucket collection efficiency is going up, we feel that the forward flow will keep coming down. In the month of March and April, we saw a very good benefit. All these flow benefits will come after the successive 2 months, which you will be seeing it as we move forward by this quarter and next quarter.
Got it. That's useful. Thank you. And secondly, on the slippages front again, because the loan mix has been changing a lot, where do you expect the normalized slippages to sort of settle at?
See, if you look more or less, no. So I would prefer to answer that in terms of credit cost. So we kind of ended the year in that 1.5 to 2% range. I think are close to 1.85 or so. We would expect this to marginally go up given the product mix that you're saying. So we should be in the 2% ballpark range unless we see some unusual developments, positive or negative, from an economy standpoint. But that's where we would benchmark ourselves to.
Got it. And also, going back to this loan mix change and both increase in a lot of secured retail assets as well as within corporate into commercial banking and everything. So assuming a steady state interest rate environment, what would be the yield trajectory in your case? Could it come down given the increasing share of secured retail, or would it be maintained at current level?
So I think we'll see actually an increase in yields and margins because of the mix change. Because while we are scaling up home loans, we are also scaling up affordable home loans. In fact, affordable home loans and small and micro LAP are now reached close to 100 crore disbursements, which will scale up quite considerably in the next year. So what is being de-emphasized is prime housing, AAA, AA plus corporates, and what is being emphasized is SME, commercial banking, and the medium yielding products on the secured retail.
Okay. So for example, in affordable HL, what would be the average yields for you?
So the prime housing would be at about 8.5 to 8.7%, whereas the affordable segment would be closer to 10, 10.5. Today the mix is 90-10, 85-15, and that mix will keep changing towards the higher yielding segment.
Got it. Thank you. That's very useful. I'll come back in the queue. And all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashwani Agarwala from Edelweiss Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. A couple of questions. So, first question is, if I try to work out the ease of the overall bank and with the ease of various segments, so some of that really doesn't work out. Because if you look at a credit card and MFI put together, it's 30% of the book. But the yield is anyway for the MFI segment would be anywhere between 20 to 25%, and for the credit card maybe slightly higher. So considering that year, yield there would be roughly 7-7.5%, and this year total yield is roughly 13%. And even for the last year, the numbers really don't stack up in terms of yield. So can you just give each various segment-wise?
Yeah, so Ashwini, I didn't really fully understand your question. I mean, there is it is highly unlikely for me to appreciate yields not stacking up in the report. But having said that, credit cards will be averaging about 20-21% because there is a mix of transactors, revolvers, and EMI book. So you have yields as high as 36-38%, you have as low as zero, and then you of course have the loan portfolio. Microfinance is yielding around 24.5-25%. Home loans and LAP current portfolio should be averaging around 9%. Wholesale rupee yields in wholesale should be ranging around 9%. So that's broadly the mix. There will be a foreign currency component, but that's not material, but that will be much lower.
Okay. So if you look at the overall ROA as well, we would be touching 1.2% in the next 2 years, and currently we are in the 1% range. Which are the segments which are a big drag on the ROA? As we said, that credit card is doing good for us, MFI is doing good for us, and but again, as I say, if we compare ourselves with our peer set, which are the segments which is really a drag on the ROE?
So Ashwini, we've explained this before. We are currently in investment mode on scaling up our newer retail asset products. Today, while the yields are what they are obviously making an operating loss because there is investment upfront, and until you reach a certain scale in each of these products, it will be a drag on overall profitability. As we go forward, the existing reasonably established, well-established businesses, which is cards, microfinance, and wholesale, will continue to be roughly as profitable or marginally better as we go forward. But the drag caused by the newer retail asset products which are being scaled up will keep coming down with scale. So just as an example, tractors made a loss in fiscal 23. We made profits in fiscal 24, and next year the profits should materially increase because now it's reached a certain operating scale. Similarly, we will see that phenomena come through in the products that are being scaled up now, which is affordable home loans, small and micro LAP, even prime LAP, and so on and so forth. So that's the play we are looking at, and that from a DuPont standpoint should translate through largely through margins.
Okay, that's my side. Good luck.
Sorry, couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yes, sir, your voice is breaking, Mr. Agarwal.
Yeah, that's from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on the great numbers. Sir, a few questions. First is, I think OPEX, you mentioned that, you know, this year the OPEX growth should be lower than loan growth. And if I look at FY24, we had an OPEX growth of around 29-30%. And assuming you deliver a loan growth of 20%, are you saying that the OPEX growth will come down from 30% YOY to less than 20%? Is that the understanding? Because you still seem to be in investment mode. So that was the question number one.
No, I think there will be some reclass in OPEX. OPEX growth for the year is...
We reclass
BC charges. So what you are looking at is not a like-to-like comparison. OPEX growth for the year is
10%.
Is grown by about 10%.
10% is what is the growth. And see, one of the things, Rudra, is that the OPEX, which is grew by 10%, which was around 30% last year, and it will be continued to be in the range of 10-15% is what we said in the last 2-3 quarters before, and we will be continued to maintain in that range only, which is far below than that of the advances growth.
Okay, so okay, because of this reclassification, maybe I grew in the numbers. Okay, so that is good. But sir, even if you are in investment mode, you are saying that 10-15% OPEX growth will be sufficient. Is that what you are saying?
Yes. See, if you just look at it, the most of the requirement for establishing these lines were done the last year, and a small portion of wherever we geographically expand, and that will be an addition which will be an incremental one only. It will not be a fresh go from the zero base. And since that is going to be a little incremental, it will not be impacting much.
Right. Okay. Secondly, sir, on deposits, right, so there is a huge CASA growth, which I understand would be some seasonality. But anything apart from seasonal, usual fourth quarter seasonality, because even on YOY basis, the growth is very strong in CASA. Is there anything which is changing or which has changed for this bank, or, you know, was there any one-off apart from seasonality?
See, I just want to take you away from the CASA loan. You look at the total deposit as a model. What we have been articulating for the last one and a half years is that we are just moving away from the bulk to that of the granular. So less than 2 crore deposit, which is growing at all the branches, is around 24%, which is definitely healthy. And this is improving quarter on quarter. And we will continue to grow that particular segment. So we are going to get a stable base of the deposit for funding our advances growth, number one. So that growth of the granular, incremental granular growth of the deposit will be higher than that of the whatever the advances growth we are going to achieve it. The second, there is our RFL and other things. We have not leveraged our touch points in respect of our subsidiary, which will start that's one big change which we have done. We experimented in few branches. That will incrementally give us some addition of maybe 1-3% of the growth there. And the last and the final one is this, the digital. We will be bringing out some of the products which will again give us an enablement for reaching the geography which are beyond our branch also.
Yeah, but Jay, to be fair, I think if you look at daily average CASA, we are holding steady. I don't think we are seeing a material improvement given the interest rate environment. We are taking, the usual steps. We are now enabled for all tax payments of the government, so we will pitch accordingly for products. There is an increased focus from branch banking on current accounts. Having said that, the Q4 numbers, if you look at the daily average basis, we are steady.
Understood. Because the question was also related to LDR, right? Because such a huge CASA growth, at least for us calculating LDR, that has improved very significantly by around 500 basis points. So would that be, you know, helpful in, because your CD ratio LDR is now 81% versus 85-86% that you were running in the last 2-3 quarters. Do you have scope for improvement in the LDR given whatever is the current conditions now?
So, no, Jay, we will operate largely in the 83-87% range. the quarter end flows last few days of the month or the quarter can skew numbers, but we will intend to operate in the 83% to 87% range.
Understood.
And just to clarify, sorry to interrupt, but we also have access to good quality, relatively low priced refinance borrowing. So it is a conscious choice to look at that as a very viable alternative means of funding, and we will continue to take the benefit of that because our asset side advances mix lends itself very favorably to some of these refinances.
Right. Understood. And a question on your provisioning and contingent provision, right? So I think as per presentation, we have 282 crores of outstanding contingent provision as of March 24. There would be some provisional release from AIF provisions also, right? Is that included in that 282, or what is holding you back in releasing the AIF provisions now classifying into contingent? Because I think the circular is now done and the rules are out, there is nothing left there.
So Jay, one clarification, AIF provisioning was never called contingent provisioning. Our contingent provisioning related to credit cards and microfinance, which we continue to hold at 1%, which means that every quarter, whatever growth happens in this business, to that extent of 1%, we will continue to add in contingent provisioning because we will maintain it at 1%. AIF provisioning was never called contingent. It is essentially, you could technically call it contingent because it's not impairment provisioning. We have not released any of that, largely because of conservative interpretation of the guideline clarification which came in.
Okay. No, because a few other banks, they have already reversed, right? Because the circular now specifies that these are the provisions you need to maintain and these are the provisions you can release. So if there is some quantum that we believe this provision is no longer required, if we don't want to reverse that, we could have at least put that into contingent. But that is what we have not done, right? We have not done.
Our interpretation is that we could not release.
Okay. Understood. And last thing is, if you can update on the status. Last quarter, we had somehow hinted that there is some corrective actions that we are taking on the so that the renewal with the co-branded tie-up continues. If there is anything, if you can comment there on the on our journey towards that, progress towards that.
See, there are two things we said about it. In the de-risking, even in my narration, we just made a point that we will be bringing down our dependency on one concentration risk. We will be bringing it down. We also said that our internal, other than that X of BFL, our sourcing has gone up to 48% as of March, and it will keep increasing it during this year, and we will be bringing down our dependency on single co-branding borrower, which was around 66% in the year before. Second is that, as has been said earlier by Jaideep, that we have already signed up with the three new partners, the card of which will also be launched, the Cobra, and it will be launched during this particular quarter. And one is, of course, IOCL, and the Park Flex, and third is the TVS Credit. And we have still continuing with our discussions with various other partners, which will also be done quarter on quarter. So our plan for de-risking and the plan for continuing with the card at the same level what we have been doing remains.
Yeah, and just to add there, I think we've had a large focus on internal as well as direct origination of cards. So a good portion now, from close to being negligible about 2 years back or a year back, we are now generating almost 30 to 40% of cards through direct sales force or branches.
Understood. That is all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Shukla from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. First question, going back to deposits, for the quarter, if we see QOQ, there is a reasonably decent fall in share of retail LCR as well as less than 2 crore deposits, right, up to 300 basis points. And there is a big buildup in LCR on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So can you please explain what's happened on the deposit front once again, please?
So Manish, so the below 2 crore deposits has grown at a pace, largely at a pace, maybe slightly lower than what we thought it should. But the percentages dropped more because we had a larger inflow of deposits that usually happens in March. People want to show deposits on their balance sheet, corporates largely. So that's why the LDR also fell to sharply sequentially, and which is why I said that we should operate in the 83% to 87% range. So that's one. LCR is a consequence of general, excess liquidity that has been around. We are consciously trying to see how we can operate more in the 120 to 130 range, which will naturally have that salutary effect on margins. But that's more a question of efficient balance sheet. It is partly conscious because we don't want to go below 120, but 140, there is definitely scope for it to come down.
But Jaydev, if you look at the last four quarters, Q1 to Q4, quarter and quarter swing in NCR has been about 10 percentage point every quarter. That's a very large swing, isn't it? 129, 142, 132, 140, last four quarters.
Yeah, I guess, some of that happens due to some changes in the way you calculate. So we've had, some of that as well come through, some positive, some negative that happens. But otherwise, attempt will be to operate more in the 120 to 130 range. That's what would be the attempt.
Okay. Moving on to cards, the new card acquisitions in Q4 is lowest in almost 7 quarters, and for the last 4 quarters, every quarter it has gone down. Anything that you're changing in terms of your acquisition strategy there?
Vikram?
As far as the strategy is concerned, we said that we will be de-risking and depending on the one big partner, and we will be de-risking it by involving so many other partners. With regard to the deduction of the last quarter, I will ask Vikram to tell you that what are the reasons for that. There is no specific reason. It is only a realignment of the things.
As we have commented in our last commentary also, that we have been building up the sales muscles and railroads of distribution throughout the first three quarters. A lot of them have matured by in last quarter, and therefore, sales muscle from deployment to output takes about one or two quarters. So our contribution from Bajaj co-brand had increased because of the investments and diversification of co-brands that we have done over last 9 months. In addition to that, we have also augmented the direct-to-customer and our brand sales teams, which have also now contributed in a major way and will continue to grow these channels in next 3, 4, 5, 6 quarters as well.
But having said that, Manish, I think it is unlikely that we will go back to, when we were much smaller, maybe pre-COVID, and where we originated significantly higher on a small base. Now that we are at a critical size of 5 million plus cards, the attempt is to kind of ensure that we are improving, for example, our activation rates. So while our activation rates are reasonably good at 43-44% on a monthly basis, but we will want to take that up. So there will be efforts made where we improve the quality of the portfolio from a spend perspective and therefore from a profitability standpoint. And we will assume therefore that when we do new acquisitions in the range of, let's say, 18 to 20 lakhs per annum, it will also mean operating leverage coming through. Because we've seen a slightly increased credit cost in the card base, and if we have to go back to profitability, we need to take steps across revenue costs as well. So it's a combination of those things. We are also no more necessarily chasing the largest market share or going from 5 to 4 or 4 to 3. That's clearly not the intent. The intent is how do we ensure that we are able to mine this customer base for multiple products that the bank now has.
So, but there is nothing in the quality of the card portfolio which is making you go slow in terms of asset quality?
Not really, no.
Okay. The other number which you had indicated in the past is that by December this year, you would like Bajaj to go down to 50. You're already there as of March. Now, would you like to revisit that number of December?
Yeah, we are looking at it, and it will be a constant effort to reach a number which will be much better than what we have been talking about.
Okay. Last question, Mr. Kumar. In your opening remarks, you talked about operating efficiencies. How long before we go down to less than 60% in terms of cost to income?
See, the precise period, we will not be in a position to do that, but I'm telling you, looking at the past, we just dropped around 4%. We'll continue to reduce by 2 to 3% this year, and the major benefit will start accruing from next year.
All right. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Shailesh L. Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. So only one question pending from my side. Yields on retail book are flattish quarter on quarter and down vis-a-vis second quarter. So anything to read into it, how we should see that going ahead at 17.3%?
Yeah, so that will be a function of the, on the daily average basis, what is the mix between microfinance and cards. I think we are now at a stage where that is unlikely to go up. What will now have to drive retail yields is the change in mix within other retail, where we move from prime housing to more, affordable housing, more of two-wheelers and auto loans and scaling up of tractors. So that's only a question of mix.
So this should be the range then going ahead, right? This should, though there is no further improvement in near term at least, right?
I mean, it will be a slow improvement, but yes, it should go up. I would bet on the fact that this will be higher by the time we exit the year without any change in repo rates. If repo rates go down, that's a different story. But without change in repo rates, they should get better.
Okay. Related to that, how is the composition book in terms of a fixed EBLR linked? Can you just give that?
So broadly, 35% is fixed, which is your cards and microfinance, and the rest of it would be largely externally linked. We have a book of approximately 6-7% still on MCLR, but the rest would be either repo or other external benchmarks.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So firstly, on the write-off, any change in the policy seems to be very aggressive write-offs, and I think on account of that, even on the credit cost side, it's even adjusting for the provisioning, contingency provisioning, it still seems to be upwards of 190 odd basis points, yeah.
So Kunal, change in policy for technical write-off will not impact credit cost because technical write-off or write-off happens post 100% provisioning in any case. But having said that, we, if you recall, in Q2 we had a tax bonanza and we did two changes. One is we created a contingent provisioning for approximately 250 crores, which is 1% of our cards and microfinance book, and then we also accelerated the 100% provisioning on credit cards from 180 to 120. And when we did that, we took a one-time, effectively, another 50 crore provisioning at that point in time, which we, of course, now continue to do the provisioning on 120 days. Now, the system implementation for technically writing that off took us some time, and therefore, that got bunched in February, and therefore, it was a catch-up of what was already 100% provision provided for on cards, and that's the number which is higher. Going forward, we'll come back to the trend which we saw before Q2.
Okay. But if I broadly understand maybe what you also indicated in terms of the guidance that credit cost will broadly be near 2% range. So is it like maybe compared to 1.5 to 2, which we have been highlighting this quarter also, it has settled slightly higher. And maybe it might not get towards closer to a 1.5, but remain near a 2% kind of a range even in the near term or medium term.
That is fair, Kunal. Partly product mix change expectations, partly to do with the fact that the first couple of quarters had the benefit of a large COVID book where recoveries were still coming. We are now when we had a, when like the industry had a significantly higher NPA during COVID, you also clean up the books effectively. Now we are becoming again, it is reflecting a more normalized book. So you're right. I don't think we can expect 1.5% credit costs. We should be in the 2% range.
Okay. So credit cost in 2% NIM, you said should be now within this range. Maybe earlier we were indicating that we will see some levers on the margin side as well. But I think again in the commentary you said like it should stay in the current range. So the overall ROA improvement lever will broadly be operating efficiency and OPEX to asset.
No, Kunal, margins, I think we will caveat it by saying that it looks steady for a quarter or two, but I would still expect margins to improve as we progress during the financial year. So that will play some role in ROA expansion in addition to costs.
Okay, got it. And just one clarification, you said AI provisions according to you could not be released based on the conservative interpretation. So there would be downstream investments as well. So that's the reason we have not written it back.
Yeah, there is of course downstream investment, which is why the provision happened in the first case. But let me give you one example of conservative interpretation. One would imagine an equity fund investment to be reversed, but if the equity fund has done an investment in a convertible instrument, then the strict interpretation of the, even if it's compulsorily convertible as an example, a stricter interpretation would say, you know, do not
yeah.
reverse.
Yeah.
Something like that, right? So,
yeah. Okay.
Net, we've chosen not to reverse that provisioning, and that provision will reverse only if we sell down or if the fund returns us money, which is naturally expected during the course of the next couple of years.
Sure. And one last question on MFI. So still in terms of the sequential traction in MFI, that seems to be going quite well, almost like 10-odd%, despite maybe we are seeing some kind of a disruption in the few states and we are getting into the election period, okay, wherein there could be some impact on the collection efficiency. So so would we continue, maybe was it more like a Q4 phenomena, or we continue to build out MFI and the other unsecured product, and that will again be the contributor to the overall growth?
So Kunal, honestly, MFI will has been in the broadly, we had come down to 7-8%, we moved to close to 10%, and you know, we have stated in the past that cards plus MFI we would want to anchor in the 35% range. We can always look at some interplay between MFI going from 10 to 12, cards coming from 25 to 23 over a period of time, but broadly speaking, net of sell downs, which we will continue to try and do in MFI because it's a very rich PSL compliant portfolio for other banks to take, we will in our books broadly hold it in that range.
Okay, got it. Yeah, thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Saurabh Kumar from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
So just two questions. One is on the wholesale book, what's the magnitude of the total write-off now left? So that's one. And the second is essentially on your core fee, it's up about 24%. So given, would you expect this momentum to sustain in the next 2 years, given the shift in retail and your expectation of 20% advances growth? So these are the two ones. Thank you.
Regarding the core fee income, year on year we'll be in a position to achieve the maintain that. The quarter on quarter there will be some variation because normally the buffer happens at the end of the fourth quarter and third quarter and fourth quarter. So as far as the overall, we'll be able to maintain it year on year the same percentage. With regard to that WDP write off,
I didn't understand. Can you repeat the write off question on wholesale?
Yeah, so I just want to know what is the magnitude of the totally written off book, and if you can. Tell us what the wholesale component of that is.
What
are
you talking about?
Technical write-off, yeah.
Wholesale banking, what is it?
Which is your? 2000 crores. That is outstanding. Anyway. Around.
You're talking about technically written off, which means we are still making
it. Yes. Totally
written off. Yeah. Account, we will continue with our efforts for recovery. We have make 100% provision and call it as a technical write-off, which is in the range of around 1,000 crores. Right?
Right now it's 1,000 crores.
Is it? Yeah.
Okay. So your recovery momentum into next 2 years. Okay, fine.
But caveat here, I don't think we will expect any materially large numbers of recovery. We will have, give an estimate, you know, we will say 100, 200 crores max in a year.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. So your wholesale will not, will be slightly inching up. I mean, that was basically
interesting. Erratic. It will be erratic opportunistic.
It will be also erratic.
Build a business case around it. Right?
Okay.
It's like the AI provisioning. It's a lot of talk about it's a one-time event. It will be erratic and opportunistic. And it is not a sustained business model from a valuation point of view.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Dama from MK Global. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a great set of numbers. So my first question is related to credit cards. So 2 points over here. So basically, can you talk about how the credit card basically stress is panning out across the system and for the bank as such, number one? Number two is that you talked about the partnerships where basically, you know, you are entering the new partnerships versus, you know, the Bajaj. So how does the ROI matrix for these new partnerships work versus the Bajaj? So whether we will have a better ROI in our book in these partnerships versus what we had with Bajaj?
This, the second part of it, we have also said earlier, whether it is a Bajaj book or the bank book, the ROI happens the same, right? So going forward, ROI flip may not be the case in partnership. Partnership is going to enable us to reach the new market, the new set of the customers, on whom we will be in a position to engage and continue to issue the cards. And once the cards are issued, today, this has been told by J.D. Pothi earlier, this year our focus is going to be not chasing the number on the top 4, top 5, top 5. And we will be seeing the ways and means of ensuring more number of active cards are used. More number of active cards are using, the spend is increased. I mean, the spend ratio has to be increased, which is fairly okay for us, and we'll continue to focus on those areas. And rather, it is going to be the customer acquisition mode, so that we get into the handle of the new customers, and through them, we'll be exploring the opportunities for the cross-sell and upsell, since we have a large number of retail portfolio products we have. That's the approach as far as the card is concerned. And the first question I couldn't understand. Can you repeat that, please?
So basically, can you talk about the credit card stress that we are seeing across the system? We saw NPL is also being higher for SBI cards. So how the stress is shaping up into the credit card portfolio for the industry and for the bankers?
See, I can just make one simple comparison for the one which is in the public space. This is what we have. Our the credit cost has been lesser than that of the one which you made a mention about it. We consider that as an industry, we continue to be better off than that.
But is there any reason why we are seeing different kind of, stress behavior?
I can talk about the behavior of our book, but not that of the industry, for a simple reason, how they handle, I do not know. Yeah, I think, Bikram, if you can add something without getting into the other bank's portfolio.
So if you were to see and see the comparison of our performance versus industry versus the information which you were mentioning, industry, so we are lower than the industry, and industry is lower than the published information that you are referring to. There has been no increase in the industry credit cost in such drastic manner. Rest of it about that specific player, I mean, we know as much as through published information as much as you know. Does that answer your question?
And because you can highlight about the partnership that we had with Bajaj. I think we had end-to-end partnership, right? From sourcing to collections, everything, right? Now the partnerships that we are entering into, obviously we do not have collection as part of that partnership. So in that case, there is a cost that we are incurring, and obviously it will be lower as compared to what we used to incur in the Bajaj partnership. Is that right?
Let me just clarify one thing. We will be complying with the master direction of Reserve Bank of India in terms of the credit card issuance. The co-brand partner is expected to source and market. We stick to that. Nothing beyond. So underwriting is with us, risk underwriting, and managing the card is with us. Transaction is on our system, and managing and looking at the data is with us, and the collection is through our team only. All along, we always had a grip on the total collection with us. The first two are the only thing which is permitted as per the Reserve Bank of India guideline. We'll stick to it 100% without any deviation.
Great, sir. So secondly, the tax bonanza that we had in FY24, is there more to it? Like in FY25, we should expect something more from there?
One-off.
I don't have a direct line.
No. And then the word itself is one-off, and there is no two-off or three-off after that. If it happens, then we both will be happy about it. Let us.
New business line.
That will give you a way to basically build up your muscle there. So that's the reason you are.
If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it is not taking back the point. This is not taken into the business modeling and then valuation part. This is just one-off. And if it happens, it's a windfall. Windfall is not a part of your adjustment planning.
So, sir, if you can talk about the attrition rate in the bank, like what was it last year and how much it is for the FY24?
I have been telling it last two quarters also very clearly. Our attrition is not in the top management, senior management. If you look at it, we are together as a team for last almost 2 years. The leadership phase, I'm saying it for the last 8 quarters, remains same. Only thing is some new names have come because somebody else has retired. Okay. And whatever the attrition happening in our bank is always at the junior management at the entry level. Our attrition is mainly. So 6 months of the period is always a training period, people stabilization going. That attrition remains what it is. But overall attrition, if I compare that of the 2 years before and now, it has dropped by 6%.
Yeah, great to hear that. Thanks, thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations on a strong performance. I have two quick questions. One is on the fee growth again, because the run rates is very, very strong. And if I look at in the composition, especially the distribution fee, that has grown like nearly 200% YOY. So if you can share some color as to what has driven this and how do you look at this run rate going forward?
So Nitin, distribution fee income largely pertains to third-party sales, which is insurance and mutual funds and other products, which typically insurance is a Q4 heavy quarter. In general, I would say that, you know, fee income should also be, our attempt would be to keep it higher than loan growth. So if we grow loan growth at 20%, we will need to ensure that fee income is slightly above that. And that has been the trend so far, and we don't expect that to change materially, at least in the near future.
Okay, sure. And second is on like the more qualitative question, knowing how critical the card business is for us, and over past 2 years we have made significant investments across all our business lines. So any qualitative color if you can share on how we are placed in respect to RBI's IT audits and overall compliance in the recent years?
See, if, leaving out whatever is there in general area, I can talk about RBL Bank. We are most relevant and the compliant bank. And as far as the requirement of that, it is a continuous basis. See, if you introduce a new line of business, you have to keep on improving it. And whatever that improvement which is required for achieving it, we make an earnest, continuous effort on a day-to-day basis. As I said earlier, this IT infra, it is not something which is being watched at once in a quarter or once in a quarter end. It is being watched daily. We have a team which we call it as a run the bank, RTB. They are literally on 24/7 basis. They keep looking at it. And they always align their strategy for infra strengthening with the business. If the business is planned to grow by X percent, they will be having their threshold. The threshold will be maintained to that extent. It is a continuous basis. That's why the investment in IT cannot be a one-time and forget it. It is always a continuous one. Capacity building is always a part of a monthly review meeting held at my level. So that is being constantly looked at it. And regardless of the compliance and as a bank, culturally, we wanted to be extremely compliant-oriented, and it is now ingrained with everybody who joins the bank. It is part of our initial training also. The compliance is the first line of the business-facing person's responsibility. There is no separate compliance department which alone take the responsibility. Now, every business leader sitting here wants the compliance. They ensure that the compliance is ensured. So it's more of a business or the business, sales, collection, everybody ensures the compliance part of it.
Right, sir. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we now conclude the question and answer session. If you have any further questions, please contact RBL Bank Limited via email at ir@rblbank.com. I repeat, ir@rblbank.com. Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of RBL Bank Limited, we thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.